Good afternoon. This is Rabbi Tokayer from Brooklyn, and we are starting today a new series, Be'ezras Hashem. Wednesday is at 1 o'clock, hopefully, on Tehillim, on Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, pick me up. And today's shir is in memory of Rivka Rabin, Aleha Shalom. It is also dedicated as a refuah shlema for Asher Lemel ben Shena Liba. Okay, so let us begin. I want to thank everybody for coming out at this time of the day, and let's get right to it. So I'd like to start with a very beginning of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us, one of the opening lines, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, Msarli Yoshua, etc. And the first exhortation that the Mishnah gives us is Havu Mesunim Badin, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, V'Asyu Siag LaTorah. Okay, those three things: to raise up students, to be somewhat temperate in one's judgment, V'Asyu Siag LaTorah, and to make a fence around the Torah. And it's this third one that I want to focus our attention on today. The idea of making a siyag, of making a fence around the Torah. So what does that, what exactly does that mean, to make a fence around the Torah? So I think most of us would probably answer that question the way many of the Mefarshim understand the simple pshat. Asyu siyag LaTorah means to make a fence around the Torah to protect it in some way, right? Bar Tanura, others, we're somehow going to protect the Torah by making a fence around it, and I think that there's some measure of sense to that. The Rambam writes, Hagzeros v'hatakonos asher yarchiku ha'adam min ha'averos, things that will distance a person from coming to sin. Kmo shomer yisparach u'shmarti mishmarti v'namar, etc. So just as Hashem exhorts us to guard the Torah, we guard it by ensuring that we don't come to violate its precepts. Now, I would just say on the face of it that this is, you know, as an opening statement of the Tanaim in Pirkei Avos, it seems to me like a pretty negative way to, you know, to get the ball rolling. Asyu siyag LaTorah. Make sure you don't fall off a bridge. Right? I mean, it's important not to fall off bridges. It's important not to stumble and fall, not to walk across the street while their car's coming. And it's important to make restrictions around the Torah in order to ensure that we don't violate the Torah. But this is the opening bell. This is the, you know, this is the big, I mean, we're setting the tone now for the entire Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi organized it. This is not by happenstance. All right, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. We want the Torah to go from generation to generation, and there are things in here that are going to help us do that. I got it. Hevu Mesunim Badin. Even the notion of somebody being temperate in judgment. Maybe that's also an important thing. But Asyu Siyag LaTorah. Make sure you don't fall over and break your leg, metaphorically speaking, as it relates to the Torah. It seems to be a rather dour approach, a dour way to begin. So I'd like to take a look at the Mefarshim and demonstrate for us that there are various views of how the Mefarshim look at this notion of Asyu Siyag LaTorah. Maybe some of them are intuitive, some of them less so, but hopefully we'll develop by the end a point that I think complements the simple pshat of making sure that we don't violate the Torah with something even more, which complements it in a more profound way to the simple pshat. Okay, so let us begin then. The pshat is you shouldn't you don't want to do averus. Rav Kook writes the following: he says when it comes to making siyagim around the Torah. Inyan siyagos haTorah eino mitzad etzem hava l'avera. This is not simply about just not coming to do an avera. Rak, excuse me, rak shehavera ra binyana. It it's true that the avera is bad in and of itself. Kimochein kol ha'inyanim shemekusharim ba b'kesher ila ve'alul, meaning all things that sort of surround, that radiate out of this avera, are also terrible. Ra'im b'inyanam uchidai lifrosh mehem ma'od. So Rav Kook says the idea of making a siyag is not simply to make a fence so we don't fall off the roof. But the idea is that an avera is a place of tuma. It's a place of spiritual contamination. And that spiritual contamination is not limited just to the confines of the moment and space of the avera itself. But rather, the spiritual contamination radiates outwards. Right? If you think of it like a fire, so you have the flame, and then you have the heat that is generated by the flame. And if I take my hand and I put it a foot away from the flame, maybe it's not going to be an issue. But if I take my hand and I put my hand within 2 inches of the flame, if it's a big enough flame and if it's intensely hot enough, I'm gonna burn my hand. The idea of a siyag, says Rav Kook, is not simply not to get onto the flame itself, but to distance ourselves from the contaminative effects where it radiates outwards. Okay, but this still, you know, is along the lines of, you know, we don't want to stumble and fall, but it expands a little bit more. That from a machshava perspective, to understand that it's not just about not doing averas in life, but understanding that averas or places of avera or moments of avera can radiate outwards. So we don't want to come close to doing an avera, not just because we're not going to do the avera, but when we're in the environs of an avera, it has an impact on us as well. It seeps into our consciousness. And it seeps into the depth of our souls. And that puts us then on the path to an easy path, or an easier path, to the Avera itself. The Rambam in his Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Tshuva, writes the following. He says, Mahi ha-tshuva? What is tshuva? Hu shi'azov achotei cheto v'yasur v'machshavta. You have to totally disassociate yourself from the avera, not just doing the avera, but thinking about the avera from it encompassing a significant part of my daily experience, or of my mind, or of my thoughts. V'chein yisnachem, and you have to have a regret. V'yayid alav yodea talumo shel yoshev hazeh, and Hashem could you know state categorically that you're not going to come back to it. Lo nomar od elokein lamase yadena v'tzarech lihisvados, and you have to confess, thank you, to confess their sins. But what is interesting here is where the Rambam starts off, where the Rambam says, "Hu shi'azov achotei eschetu," it has to leave his sin, but it's not just leaving his sin, it's yasiro mimachshavto. What's the point of yasiro mimachshavto? I mean, people have thoughts. No, nobody's perfect, and everybody has thoughts. And I'm not talking about thoughts here, hurim, you know, bad thoughts that lead one to sin. But in other words, that are the thoughts that are sinful in and of themselves. Just thinking about or having it cross one's mind. Right? So there is something about maisa avera, about actions of avera that take up residency in my mind. And the point is that if we think about the mind as the hard drive and our body as the rest of the computer, if we contaminate the mind, then we're contaminating the hard drive, which makes it much easier then to corrupt everything that flows forth. So when we say asu siyag la'Torah, we're not just talking about preventing ourselves from violating an avera, so we set up a fence. But outside of it, like Rav Kook said, and the Rambam reinforces, is that we want to remove ourselves from the environs of the Avera. It's not just about doing the Avera. Thinking about it, having it rent space in my mind is also problematic because it contaminates the hard drive. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, he writes, Ur Yishenim Sheinaschem. We blow the shofar, right, to wake us up from our slumber and to do the right thing. V'chizur b'tshuva, so we should do tshuva and not get involved with all type of frivolity and stupidity of life. He concludes this halacha saying the following: Habitu l'nafsho sechem. Look inside your soul. Look deep inside yourself. V'heitivu darkechem u'malalechem, and you should improve your derech, your ways. It doesn't say heitivu ma'asechem, that you should improve your actions. Darkechem should improve your ways. V'yazov kol echad mikem darko hara'a, and you should leave your evil way, the derech hara'a. As Rav Soloveitchik has pointed out, the Rambam is making the point that it's not just the Maisa Avera, it's not just the Avera itself, it's the on-ramps. Like Rav Kook said, it contaminates the field around. It's not just the place and moment in time, the Dalet Amos of the Avera that are problematic. It radiates outwards. And if we want to ensure a life of purity, or to the best that we can, to assure a life of nobility, of spiritual refinement, in which we are able to grow and develop and achieve and become truly representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam on this earth, then it's not just about not doing averus. It's about creating an environment of spiritual refinement. I can't have an environment of a spiritual refinement if I'm walking in the mud. Now the mud might not be the pit, but it's still the mud. And so therefore, asusiyag laTorah on one level is about stopping us from doing averus. On another level, it's about trying to create an environment in which spiritual refinement and development is much easier, and the pathway to avera is closed off. That place in itself has either spiritual opportunity or the opportunity for spiritual destruction. But again, this all comes on the heels of a rather sort of negative approach, making sure we're not getting to avera. The Meiri interestingly says the whole notion of siag in his Beis HaBechira. The Meiri says the whole notion of siag, is something that maybe isn't even such a great idea to begin with. Says the Meiri, ad oso zman, until this point of su siag la Torah, or until some point close to them, lo hayu osin siag, it wasn't common practice to make fences, to make guardrails, to make enactments to ensure that we don't violate the Torah. Les oras hamuter, to take something which is mutter and say that it's usser in order that we shouldn't fall off the bridge, that, he said, was not done. Why? Listen to this. Mechashash shema yavo'u lidei iser. Because there was a concern that doing so would actually lead to iser. In other words, somehow, if we make things prohibited, then we are now making more things possible for people to violate, right? So ados osman lo hayu osin siag. They didn't make siagim at this point because the concern is that people would violate yisurim. So if you make a lot of rules, then there are more rules to be broken. So apparently, it wasn't in an ideal world. Siagim are not advisable. You're just setting up stumbling blocks for people. However, but then people started violating the actual averas themselves. And therefore, it was considered necessary. And only now, in Golos Bavel, did they start begin the process of making takanos, enactments, and gzeros, and all types of rabbinic decrees to prevent people from violating the Yisurei Torah. But this is really plan B. This is plan B. Plan A is not to have gzeros, not to have takanos. And in fact, by having lots of gzeros and takanos, you're just setting up more stumbling blocks before people. Nevertheless, even the Meiri says, the Chachamim, interpreted the pasuk v'shmartem es mishmarti, that we should indeed set these things up. set up these guardrails to ensure. It is interesting, however, to note that the Meiri cites the Avos de Rabbi Nasan, who gives us examples of how siyagim is part of our setting up these guardrails seems to be part and parcel of our DNA and of our history, going back all the way to Adam HaRishon. But if we go back to Adam HaRishon, what we find is that the siyagim didn't work out that well. Says Avos de Rabbi Nasan, Ezehu siyag she'asa Adam HaRishon ledvarav. What is the siyag that Adam HaRishon did, right? This goes back to the beginning of time, the dawn of creation. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam le'mor mikol eitz hagan achol tochal u'me'eitz hadas tovara lo sochal mimenu. Right? Ki b'yom achalcha mimenu mos tamos. So you're not supposed to eat from the eitz hadas, Adam and Chava. That's what the pasuk says. However, lo ratz Adam HaRishon lomer l'chava kiderech shomer l'kadosh baruch hu. When Adam HaRishon reported this to Chava, he didn't want to tell her exactly what Hashem said. But rather, he said to her, by way of making the very first siyag, the very first guardrail around the Torah. But in this very first guardrail, you see the possibilities for the problems and the obstacles, the roadblocks, the barriers for making siyagim. So also siyag ludvarav, he made a siyag. And he said more than Hashem actually said. God said, "Lo sochela, you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas." But when he reported it, he adds, "Velo sigubo, and you shouldn't touch it, lest you die." So he wanted to ensure both for himself and for Chava, says Avos de Rabbi Nasan, that they would stay far away from and not even come to touch it, because if you don't touch it, you're certainly not gonna eat it. The Nachash realized the opportunity here and offered the following suggestion, and we all know the story. He says, "Well, you know, I'm not going to be able to trip up Adam. He knows the score, but Chava doesn't really know the score because this is a siyag, and she thinks this is what is prohibited because this is what Adam reported to her." And so then he says, "We know the story where." He then tells Chava, "Imlu negia ato meretz yivaleinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu hareini nogea bo ve'eini meis. You're telling me that you're not allowed to touch it? Watch, I'm going to touch it and I'm not going to die." Right. So here we see the pitfalls of making siyagim. So while gzeros, takanos, and these various guardrails around the Torah might be necessary, and might even not just to prevent us from doing the aver itself from burning on the flame, but even from being in the environment around the flame. We don't want to be contaminated. There's something to be said for that as well. But that's really all Plan B. It seems that, or maybe not Plan B, but there are pitfalls to having siyagim and gzeros and takanos. There are pitfalls, and one has to be aware of it. Right, but if all of these approaches to making siyagim around the Torah is, comes from one perspective or another, a negative perspective, let me share with you what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah looks at the siyagim of the Torah as something altogether different. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, "Hasiyag hu davar gadol u'meshubach." A siyag, a fence around the Torah. This is not just about, making sure we don't fall off the bridge. This is something amazing. It's beautiful. It's praiseworthy. How so? Because it is a reflection of somebody who's a true Yirei Hashem. Hayarei is Dvar Hashem. Somebody who has true awe and reverence for the Ribbono Shel Olam will want to make siyagim and will want to observe this siyagim. Will want to observe these guidelines around the Torah. Lachain, and therefore, Hamakayim as Dire Chazal Shem Siyagim LeMitzvos. Anybody who observes all of the enactments of Chazal, of the sages, in order to ensure the integrity of the Torah, is doing something extraordinary. Shehu Chibev Hayira Mimisha Osa HaMitzvah Atzma. ki ein asiyas hamitzvos hochacha liyira kimo hashomer l'siyagim. So when a person observes all of the guidelines and all of the guardrails, one is showing a tremendous love for the Torah. How so? So let's put a metaphor around this in common daily life. We have dishes and we have dishes. We have glasses and we may have a crystal. Where does one put their crystal, or where does one put their fine china? In a china cabinet, in a break front, right? The paper plates you throw anywhere. But stuff which is special, stuff which is unique, stuff which has extraordinary value, which we ascribe value to, right? You have a break front, and maybe you have a family becher, a family kiddush cup, a silver kiddush cup that's been here for 4 generations or 10 generations. You put it on display in the break front because it's special. He says, and you don't want anybody touching it just haphazardly, not even yourself. This is what Rabbi Yonah says. The siyag, and when we observe the siyagim, is a way for us to demonstrate our extraordinary love for the Torah by sort of not putting it behind glass, not to touch it, but putting the Yisurim behind glass so we don't violate them, putting the Torah in a break front, so that way we're very, very careful with it. We do what we must do because we want to, and we do not violate anything because we're holding it in such esteem. And he says, it is greater a person who observes the siyagim even more so than somebody who just simply observes the mitzvos. Hamakayim divrei chazal is even greater than just doing the mitzvah by itself. Ki ein asiyas hamitzvos hochacha, because when a person does what they have to do from the Torah, they're not really showing the sense of awe, the sense of love, the sense of fidelity to the mitzvos. You're doing what you have to do. But somebody who shomer siyagim, shehu nizhar mitchila shelo yavi lidei pshia, being so careful to make sure that we don't do, fall, and we're not lax, and we don't make any mistakes, that shows that we really, really value this. Achaos ha-mitzvah ve'eno mekayem asiyag, somebody does a mitzvah and does not observe the siyagim, does not abide by the guardrails, Mar Elanu basically is demonstrating to himself and to everybody around, Kim Yetiv Beinav Lasos Mitzvah, Al Yera Beinav Im Yifshaba. While he's happy to do a mitzvah, he doesn't really care if he slips up. Right? He's willing to walk on the edge. Because if he falls, big deal. So he fell, so what? But that is precisely the beauty of the siyag, because we demonstrate the awe and reverence and love that we have for a mitzvah. This is a very different way of looking at it than simply, I'm afraid to fall off the bridge, or I'm concerned about being contaminated, or that I don't want to be on the pathway to Avera. All those are true and all those are important. But Rabbeinu Te'yona takes this and flips it entirely on its head and sees the notion of fulfilling the words of Chazal, not just as a fence to stay away from something, but having innate value in and of itself. And when we look at the Takanos, we look at the Gzeros, we look at the Siyagim of Chazal. I mean, look at Shabbos. Shabbos certainly has 39 Malachos. But what would Shabbos be without Muktzah, which according to the vast majority of Rishonim is a Derabanan, is an enactment by the sages. Can you imagine Shabbos without the Isser of Muktzah? Muktzah is not there simply, in this rendition, is not there simply to make sure that we don't violate the Isser Torah of Shabbos. It's true. It is to make sure that we don't violate some Isser Torah of Shabbos. But Muktzah is also there. It creates an environment. It creates a moment. It enables us to treat Shabbos and to treat the mitzvah with extraordinary reverence, if we actually are mindful about it. We have such extraordinary opportunities that Chazal have given us by providing us the siyagim. So when Pirkei Avos begins, Asiyu Siyag LaTorah, I mean, are the Talmidei Chachamim and Chazal the only ones that are the students of Pirkei Avos? They're the ones who are making the Siyagim. What's irrelevant to me? I'm not on the Sanhedrin. I'm not in the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. I'm not making the Takana Derabanans. Nevertheless, it's relevant to me. It's relevant to me because it gives me a way of viewing and framing the Siyag so that my life becomes more profound and I am able to mindfully ascribe greater reverence and love to the mitzvahs that I'm doing. What an opportunity. But I think that there's one other approach that I'd like to share with you. And to understand this approach, we have to turn ourselves to Perek Gimel in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel. And here, the Mishnah says the following. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Schok v'kalas rosh, merriment and frivolity, margilin la'erva, can lead a person to licentious behavior. Masores, the tradition that we have, Siag la Torah, is somehow a fence around the Torah. Maasros, giving tithes, our miser, is a fence around a wealth. And then it goes on, Nidarim, vows are a fence around abstinence, and silence is a fence around wisdom. What does this mean? What does it mean that the tradition, the Masorah, is a fence around the Torah? What does it mean it's a fence around the Torah? What does it mean that if I give miser, that's a fence around around wealth? Or that wisdom is a fence around, that silence is a fence around wisdom? What does it mean to be a fence? A fence is something that creates boundaries, that's limiting. So what, I want to limit my wisdom, I want to limit my Torah, I want to limit my wealth? What does it mean, siag? Right. So, many of the Rishonim understand, and I think that if we understand this Mishnah in Perek Gimel, we can then also understand, bring another perspective to our opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Asu Siag LaTorah generally. So, many Rishonim understand Rashi and others understand what does it mean, Masores Siag LaTorah, that the tradition is a fence somehow around the Torah. The Masoros that we're talking about here is not simply the tradition of handing it down from parent to child, generation to generation, sage to sage. You know, that's not what it means here. What it means is the Ba'alei Masorah, the sages who were tasked with the mission of annotating the Torah, vocalizing the Torah, and making sure that the Torah is vocalized, written, read correctly. And that includes, for example, how the words are like the word shalom. The word shalom can be written with a vav, which would be written male, or it could be written chaser without the vav. So we don't know how to, we wouldn't necessarily know how to do it on our own. The Balei Masorah, they're the ones who tell us, the Masoretes, the Balei Masorah, they tell us there are various schools of the Balei Masorah, Menashe, etc. So they tell us, you write it this way. This word is written male, or this word is written chaser, with a vav. This word yiladim is written without a yud, is written with a yud, right? Male and chaser. But not just that. Tells us the letters in the Torah, how many if in the Torah a section comes to an end in what is called a Parsha Psucha or a Parsha Stuma, which means that a Parsha Psucha or a Parsha Stuma in the Torah itself, a paragraph or a portion comes to an end with a certain space between the next piece. And there are different ways, different spacings that occur. So they provide us that information as well. Nikud, vocalization. Is it a segol? If you have a word and the word is bez nun hay, is that word boneh? Is that word bana? Is that word bina? So they give us the vocalization, the nikudos of the letters, and all of this is siag LaTorah. Not just that. The Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that it includes even the ta'amim, the trup, right? How we sing the the psukim, mapach pashta, merchatipcha, sof pasuk, all of that, how it is, not only how it's written, but how it's vocalized, the letters, malei chaser, and even the trup, even the ta'amim. So what does this have to do with siag la Torah? How is this somehow offense to the Torah? So I think the best way to understand it is to think about a person who has difficulty making decisions in life. So if a person is not capable of, some people feel that when their options are limited, they're somehow under attack, and the only way they can live is if they have all their options open. But of course, anybody who has all their options open is never making a decision, right? So if a person, has 40 people which he or she could potentially marry and doesn't want to choose any one of them, so you've left all your options open. You have not been limited at all, but you've condemned yourself, to a life of loneliness. Right? If a person, on a mundane level, a person has 4 job opportunities, right? So if I choose one of those job opportunities, then I've now limited myself from the others. And so if I keep all my options open, then great, I have all my options in front of me. But of course, if I have all my options open and I don't make a decision, then I'm not going to be able to make a parnasa. So while emotionally and psychologically, a lot of times people don't want to feel limited, but the truth of the matter is that it is in the limitations of life that we are able to actually live. Right? If there are no, you go into certain neighborhoods and people are, at least I live in New York, people are double parked and triple parked and parked by fire hydrants and parked all over the place, and it becomes a mess to be able to drive in traffic. Right? So, but it's limiting not to be able to park where I want. If there are no traffic signals, if there's no traffic laws, if there are no cops giving out tickets, to people that are parked illegally, it's just anarchy. It is the limitations of life that enable us to live a vibrant life. Okay, so let's bring this back now to Masar Siag LaTorah. So if I have a word, Bana, Beis Nun Hei, it can either be Bana, Bona, Bina. There are multiple ways how to read it. And there might even be multiple ways how to write a certain word. The Balei Masorah limit our ability to read the words in the Torah by removing possible options. And once those options have been removed, I'm left simply with the one and only true option left. And that is the Torah HaKadosha. Masoras Siag LaTorah. The Masoras is a fence. It is limiting. It limits the Torah. It limits the Torah by telling us all the other ways which are not the right options, which are not the right possibilities. And this is the one true possibility. So counterintuitively, paradoxically, we know it in our own mundane lives, and it's true for Avodas Hashem as well. It is the experience of limitation that allows a person to live vibrantly. I can't have 5 job options open to me at all times. I have to choose. If I have the blessing of being able to choose a spouse, I have to choose. I can't live without the limitation. It is the limitation that enables me the vibrancy of life. It is the limitation on the words of the Torah. If I vocalize it this way, I cannot vocalize it that way. It is the limitation that provides the true opportunity for vibrant living in the mundane world and in Avodas Hashem and in our understanding of the Torah as well. So this is what it means, Masoras Siag LaTorah. If I limit, the Balei Masorah limited us, they created fences and boundaries, but in doing so, they gave us the Torah. Masros, I limit myself by removing my wealth and giving it out to tithes, to the Levium, to the Kohanim, whoever. But in doing so, by limiting myself, masores siag, maaser siag, by giving away my money, that creates true wealth. Because as Chazal say, Hashem will repay you for that. And furthermore, even without that promise, it is the ability to give that gives the person the ability to give. When a person is able to give, they have the experience of wealth. There are some people that are extraordinarily wealthy, but they cannot open up their clenched fist. So who's wealthy? A person who is of modest means but can give, or a person who is of significant means but cannot open up a clenched fist because they feel that if they give a dime, that they're somehow going to be poor. Who's the true wealthy person? Masros siagla osher. And the same thing with shtika and chachma. If I close my mouth and I don't engage, that's limiting me. But don't we all know from our own life experience how true it is that if we are silent and able to hear, we are, instead of speaking, we listen, and we nasev and ishma, we listen. Rather than speaking, or we listen before we speak, that is a limitation, no doubt. But it is that limitation that enables true wisdom to develop. And it's true all areas of life. So this is what it means, asu siag la Torah. This is a perfect way to open up Pirkei Avos, a way of living. And that is asu siag la Torah, to make a limitations, fences around the Torah. You know what it means? It means to live a life of understanding that the boundaries, the fences, the limitations that are imposed on us, whether it's the Torah itself or even the ones that are added by the Chachamim, those limitations are the ones that actually give us the freedom to live. The opposite of freedom is not slavery. The opposite of freedom is anarchy. The opposite of freedom is having all the options available. No laws, no anything, pure freedom. But that's no way to live. Asu siag la Torah. You want to live a life? You want to live a vibrant life? Have your Torah be a life of siagim, one with limitations. Now, a person shouldn't be crushed to the ground, but we need limitations in life, boundaries. Pirkei Avos is beginning this with an exhortation. If you want to live a life of Avodas Hashem joyfully and hopefully, then the Torah laws itself and the siagim, or the siagim help us to understand the Torah laws themselves, that they are a way for us to live fully, to live joyfully, and to live with full freedom. So paradoxically, the limitations on our freedom, the siagim la Torah, are actually what give us the true freedom to live. Ein ben chorin ela misha osek batara. Who is a free person? Only somebody who is osek batara. So Pirkei Avos begins with this exhortation. Musunim badin should be temperate in our judgments. Hamidu talmidim harbe, have to give over the tradition from generation to generation, to hand it over to the talmidim. And broadly speaking, asu siag la Torah, to appreciate a life of boundaries, of fences, of the limitations. Because although from one perspective they might seem like they're keeping us in, from the perspective of Pirkei Avos, from the perspective of the Torah, it's those very limitations that are giving us access to life and to the world. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and Bezras Hashem. Look forward to seeing you all next week.